Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, we're going to look at some of the truths that God has for us, and it will cover also this whole year, the focus that the Lord has for us. Now, I've not given you a verse of scripture for this year, and I like to do so at the onset of the message, but I'm not preaching about the theme. I preached on it actually at the beginning of the year when I touched on the Lord of the vineyard. Remember the vineyard, the master of the vineyard? He went out and got workers for the vineyard at different times. Remember that? And we saw at the end that the payment was made, the reward was given, not because of the diligence of those who bore the burden and the heat of the day, but it was because of the Lord's goodness. Amen. Those that trusted in His goodness received the best. It was the 11th hour generation that received the best. Amen. They received maximum results for minimum input. Right? Amen. And we are the 11th hour generation. So that parable talks about God's goodness. And they went to the field, not having any agreement with the Lord of the vineyard regarding their salary, regarding their remuneration. They just went because the master says, you guys are unemployed. They say, yes, go to the field and whatever is right, I'll give you. They went by the master's words. They went trusting his goodness. Whereas the early hour, they went only after they agreed for remuneration. They came with the attitude of, I'll work for you, but you got to do this for me. Right? And guess what? The Lord gave them what they asked, but no more. But those that trust in God's goodness, they get beyond. Come on. I can see, or ear can hear, or the heart can imagine. Praise the Lord. And that's because they trust in God's goodness. Can I have a good amen? You know, God is not behind your sorrow, your pain. God is not behind your broken heart. God is not behind your tragedy or whatever. God is not the author of these things. God is a good God. And no matter what happens, we got to always have that faith to say, God, we trust in your goodness. I don't understand everything, but I trust in your goodness. So let me give you this verse. Turn with me to Psalms 65. Psalms 65. Verse 11, you crown the year with your goodness. This year, 2003 has been crowned. Amen. It looks kingly to me. And the crown is called God's goodness. You crown the year with your goodness. And your paths drip with abundance. Oh, I love this. Your paths drip with abundance. When that means you follow God, His paths drip with abundance. Amen. You ever came up from the swimming pool? All right, and you walk behind you is a trail of water, right? And those who follow you will step on the water. So those who follow God will step on His abundance. There's a path of abundance. Amen. You crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Now, that does not mean there won't be challenges this year, like every other year. There'll be challenges. But God has crowned the year with His goodness. And what we got to do in the midst of our challenge, we got to believe in the goodness of the Lord. And this is what David says. Let me give you another verse of scripture. All right? In Psalms 27. Now, when you encounter challenges this year, remember this psalm. Psalms 27, verse 13. It says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I like the old King James. It says, I would have fainted. I would have pink sun. We got someone in our church called Pink Sun, by the way. I used to joke about, you know, Pink Sun, then one day. And I was always joking the same name, Lim Pink Sun. Then one day, Jeannie came to me and said, Pastor, don't joke that name anymore. I said, why? There is somebody in our church called Lim Pink Sun. I said, no kidding. He says, yes. Isn't it amazing? How many believe God has a sense of humor? Of all the churches, God placed him here. Amen? And David says, I would have fainted. I would have fainted, son. Unless I had believed. You see, you believe because you don't see it, you don't touch it, you don't experience it yet, you have five senses, but you believe in what? In the goodness of the Lord. Amen? I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, some of you might say, well, we will see the goodness of the Lord one day in heaven. No, in the land of the living. God says, in the midst of your trouble, you believe in His goodness, He'll make you see His goodness in the land of the living, while you're still alive on planet Earth. Not in heaven. In heaven, all of us will see God's goodness, right? But down here, in the here and now, we'll see God's goodness. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Now, let's go right now. Don't forget, this is your passages for this year. All right? Psalms 27, as well as Psalm 65. God has crowned the year with His goodness. Praise God. How many are glad that we don't have to depend on feng shui experts? We can depend on God's word. If you believe it's going to be a bad year, it will be a bad year for you. All right? Pastor Prince, a lot of people are losing their jobs and blah, blah. Again, 1,000 can fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. It will not come near you. Amen. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. Because we belong to Jesus. And it's not enough just to say, I'm safe. You must also every day confess, Lord Jesus, You are my fortress. You are my refuge. I trust You. Trust Him. When things go wrong, trust Him. Amen. You know that one of the first times I claimed this promise, it says, angels will bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You know what happened the very first day? Second day after I start claiming that. Every other day I was claiming that. Second day I was claiming that. The whole day I was claiming that. And I kick against a door. I've not kicked against a door, I don't know for how long. And it bled, my toe bled. I had to get a plaster. But you know what? I can almost hear the devil snickering. And then I said this, Father in heaven, thank You. My experience is not final. Your word is. And it's almost like the devil stops snickering and says, he really believes it. He fled. And I'm telling you, the following week was one of the best weeks. And I'm still experiencing one of the best weeks. Amen. Amen. You know, the Bible says, and this is something not emphasized as it should have been emphasized in the word of faith circle. All right? And it's this, when you receive God's word in any area, that's the area you'll be challenged almost immediately. When you say, by His stripes I'm healed, next thing you know, alright, your child falls sick or you yourself fall sick the very next day or the following few days. Why? The fight is on. The devil wants to see whether you really believe. Jesus said, when the seed is sown in the four grounds, the seed and the sower and the seed, remember that? The parable of the sower and the seed we shared a few weeks ago. Jesus says, affliction arises because of the word's sake. You know, don't think that we are so hot, the devil comes and pay attention on us. It's nothing to do with us. It's the word of God in our lives. And he's afraid it will bear root if it's left there long enough. So the moment you say, by his stripes I'm healed, know this. All right, well, if that's a case, Pastor Prince, I won't say it. Well, you won't say it, he will still put sickness on you. Somewhere in the future. And this time you won't have the weapon to counter it. You know what? If you want to fight, fight. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. And then hold on to the word. In the midst of the sickness, hold on to that word. And you know what? I believe you will rise to a new level of health you never had before. Amen. Either you give up or the sickness will give up. Amen. If he wants a fight, you know, have this kind of attitude. Don't have, you see, Pastor Prince, it doesn't work. Amen. He wants a fight, give him a fight. Amen. Because the Bible says that you will bring forth the good ground, 34, 64, 100-fold. 34 means you don't have all the promises yet. Amen. That means here and there you might even see the opposite of that promise. But you know what? Keep on holding it. Keep on confessing it. Keep on releasing it with your words of your mouth, the faith and the promises of God's word. Amen. And the more you say it, 34 becomes 64. And the Bible says you bring forth fruit with perseverance. That means there's going to be a fight. Amen. Let's not play dead. If he wants a fight, let him have a fight. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And our fight is called the fight of faith. Hallelujah. Because you know why? We win. Amen. All right? The good fight of faith. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, turn with me to, I want you to hold on to a promise that, again, many of us, we quote this, and I've heard it quoted. We quote to one another. It's even in some songs. It's the promise, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Right? And yet, the million-dollar question comes up. If no weapon formed against me shall prosper, then how come sometimes it seems like every weapon seems to prosper? All right? And it seems like in some Christian lives, you see almost every weapon that comes prospers against them. You know, it's one thing after another. Yet the Bible promises, and God cannot lie. Everyone say, God cannot lie. God says, no weapon formed. So the devil can invent new viruses, new chemical warfare, new kinds of disease or new strains, you know, of disease that is now resistant to the medicine that was before. All right. So now they have to invent new medicines, but no weapon form, it covers what? Everything. No weapon formed against you, whether it's sickness, whether it is poverty, whether it is evil, the devil has designed against you. God promised no weapon formed against you shall prosper. So for that, let's turn to Isaiah 54. And I want you to, from now on, if you claim that promise, you must know that there's a stipulation to that promise. There is a condition to that promise. Do you know there's a condition? All right? And the condition is not hard. In fact, you already have it. The promise that we don't believe it. So that's where the promise comes in. Isaiah 54. Let's do Isaiah 54. It says here in verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Now, the only condition that you find in this chapter, the only condition. Now again, sometimes, you know, we believers especially, you know, they hear something, they run with it. Oh, no weapon formed against me. Amen, brother. All right? But there's a condition, like I said. And the condition is found early in this chapter. And you find that when you fulfill this condition, there are five promises that follows, which includes no weapon formed against you shall prosper. How many want that? Hey, just that one promise, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. How many think can survive throughout the whole year with that promise? Huh? People say things against you, it falls to the ground. The devil plans things against you, all right, is disrupted. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, God not said, no weapon formed against your neighbor shall prosper. All right, we're not responsible for our neighbor. But the devil puts fear in our hearts by looking at people's lives, you know. How many know that? Instead of looking at God's word, we look at people's lives. And especially that people is a Christian people. Alright? And then the devil will come and say, well, you know, that happened to so-and-so. Okay? Again, like I said, we are not responsible for so-and-so. Our job is to put our eyes on the word of God. Not to put our eyes on the storm. Put our eyes on Jesus. Amen, people? So one of the promises is no weapon formed against you will prosper. And the stipulation, I believe many of you already know it, if you have the same Holy Spirit. And what's the condition? Come on. Verse 14. In righteousness you shall be established. Notice from then on, if you read down, it says, in righteousness you shall be established, you shall be far from oppression. By the way, oppression includes sickness, right? Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all they were oppressed. So sickness is an oppression. You shall be far from oppression means you shall be far from sickness as well. All right, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Amen. God did not say there's no terror in the world. God says it will not come near you. So instead of terror alarming you, terror is terrified of you. It will not come near you. You know, when we say we don't like to come near something, like children don't like to come to near a house that looks haunted. Alright? So the same kind of fear, terror will not come near you when you establish in righteousness. And it goes on and on until it comes to no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Now, what righteousness is this verse talking about that we are to be established in? My righteousness? Is it my righteousness? How long I pray? How many chapters I read a day? Is it my law keeping? Again, the no is not very sure, huh? In righteousness you shall be established. Whose righteousness? Now, you don't have to take my word for this, or just because we are new creation church. All right, we talk about God's righteousness a lot. You must take the scriptures for this. It ends off by telling you, verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Look at the last line. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Amen. Can you see that? Now, we don't realize what, you know, the fullness of what happened to us when we received the gift of righteousness. And it's a gift. Romans 5:17 says, it's a gift of righteousness. And last Sunday I shared in the indoor stadium, I shared that if right now you see symptoms of the curse in your life, if you see like there's oppression, there is depression, there's discouragement, or even sickness or lack in your life, these are symptoms of the curse. Now, once you see that, you can have a way out immediately. And the way is this, right there and there, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Receive that gift of righteousness all over again. Now, we are told that when we receive Jesus, we receive that gift. But the Greek word there for receive is a continuous receiving. It's actually a receiver of the gift of righteousness. That means someone who lives his life receiving that gift all over again. And the time to receive that gift, especially when you fail. Are you listening? That's the time to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not in myself, in Christ Jesus. Amen. I am the right. And the moment you say that, something happens to you. Say it again. Something happens to you. And you are rising just like a balloon that is pressed into the water will rise to the surface. The devil cannot keep you long enough. You will rise because it's a gift of righteousness. It is not something you earn. It's something that's given to you because you have Jesus. But just because you have Jesus, and for sure, if you have Jesus, you have righteousness, doesn't mean that you'll walk in the blessings of that righteousness. In fact, you can have something and still be distressed because you're not aware of what you have. Amen. You ever see an old lady, you know, looking at her grandson and say, Sonny boy, have you seen my glasses? And the glasses are up here. And she's so distressed. Have you seen my glasses? I need my glasses. And the boy says, Grandma is on your head. Oh! Praise the Lord! Amen. Now, how many realize she had it all the time? Did she have it? But lack of knowledge is one thing, alright? But nothing is what? Come on. Lack of awareness. You must be aware of it all the time. Amen. Amen. You must declare, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then we have a teaching in the church that's very prevalent, that yes, you are righteous by Jesus' blood when you receive Jesus, but the moment you fail, you have become unrighteous. Now you must get right with God. Now, that means that's very strange. Is it, if it's a gift in the first place, then how come I lost it? Oh, you sin away that gift. Now I must get it back again. Now, isn't it amazing when I was a sinner, all right, I cannot do good. I cannot righteous, put it this way, okay? I cannot, how many realize when I was a sinner, when you were a sinner, you did some righteous acts, right? You were not sinning all the time, right? I know some of you, but most of you, you did some righteous acts, right? You gave money to the poor or something like that when you were a sinner, right? Did those righteous acts make you a righteous man? No, you were still a sinner. Amen. You cannot righteous away your sinnerhood. So in the same way, what makes us think that we can sin away our righteousness in Christ? If we say that, then we say that what Adam had is greater than what Jesus gave. Now, am I encouraging you to sin? Of course not, Bodo. By now you ought to know it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. But until you know this, sin will have dominion over you. And until you learn that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, sin will always have power over you. Amen. Because the Bible says, awake to righteousness. And again, that verse has been so mistranslated as to do right things. Righteousness in the Bible is not law righteousness, it's always faith righteousness. It is righteousness by faith. Amen. Paul said, for they, referring to the Jewish people, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Are you listening? The righteousness of God is not something you earn, it's something you receive through the blood of Jesus. Can I have a good amen? Amen. And when you awake to righteousness, God's righteousness in your life, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. You will not sin. Amen. The first area the devil will always attack sermons like this is to tell people or whisper in their ear, this kind of sermon will produce sin in the church. When actually, those times when you sin, it's because you felt condemned, you felt lousy, you felt rejected, you felt lonely. When you feel the righteousness consciousness, when you feel righteous, you don't want to sin. Amen. We got to build that righteousness consciousness on the inside of us. We got to hear more preaching like this. Amen, church. The whole Bible, Paul said to Timothy, the entire scripture is given by the breath of God. The same breath that brought us into existence. Man was given life by that breath. And all the scriptures is God-breathed. And it's profitable for doctrine, teaching, for doctrine, for correction, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction, in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. The entire Bible is given to teach us righteousness. Pastor Prince, there is a righteousness from God and there's a righteousness you must perform. That is confusion. If there's a righteousness that I perform, I don't need the righteousness from God. In fact, if righteousness comes by the law, Paul said in Galatians, Christ died in vain. Amen, church. You are right with God because of what Jesus has done. And the more you're awake to that, the more you thank God for that, the more you say it, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ, the more it becomes a powerful force in your life. Amen. Then all of a sudden, it's like this. You know, how many... Okay, let's illustrate, okay? Let's say I'm in this realm. There's a middle line of division, okay? I'm in the realm where sinners are. You can expect what? Depression, come on, shout. Doubt. Discouragement, come on. Anger. Sickness, what else? Come on. In the realm of darkness, come on. Death, come on. Poverty, very good. Come on, people, talk. Yeah, this is fun. Bible study, yes. Come on. Huh? Fear, I thought weird. Yeah, weirdness also. People can become weird in this realm. Although some charismatics on that side also a bit. But yes, weirdness. What else? Huh? Worry, very good. Worry, anxiety, come on. That's the realm of darkness. Come on. Right? Okay, good. We don't want to stay too much in this realm. Now, once you've been transferred by the blood of Jesus from death unto life, the Bible says you are in a new realm. Giving thanks, let's turn to Colossians, all right? And keep that illustration just for a while, and let's turn to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Chapter 1, look at this. It says, giving thanks, verse 12, to the Father, who has qualified us. Who qualified us? Come on, who qualified us? Did we qualify ourselves by our holiness or by our, come on? Anything that we did? No, the Father qualified us. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. So this realm, we talked about just now, with all those things that you all mentioned, right? This realm is the power of darkness. Are we still there?
No.
Hey, listen. There are some areas of Christianity that teach you, you are still there. A believer can still be there. A deliverer needs deliverance. There are some places they need deliverance from deliverance. All right? The Bible says clearly, don't take my word for it, it says he has delivered. Is that past tense or future tense? Past tense. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, we are no more in this realm. We have crossed that line. And now, he has translated us or conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We are in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. But the Bible doesn't say the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It says in a way that's... I love the way God said it. You are translated into the kingdom of the Son of my love. That means it's very warm. This kingdom is full of love. It's the kingdom of Jesus. He's the son of his love. But I love the way God says it. It's that, for example, instead of saying in Ephesians 1, we are accepted in Christ, it says we are accepted in the beloved. I love the way God says some things, amen? So we are in this kingdom of the son of his love. Come on, church. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We are now in this kingdom, right? Amen. And what do we find in this kingdom? In home. Come on. In home here refers to home. Jesus. We have. Are we trying to get it? No. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. What do you and I have in this kingdom? We have forgiveness of sins. Every sin is forgiven. In this kingdom, we have it. Where is it found? Is it in this realm or this realm? This realm. Now, once upon a time, we don't have forgiveness of sins. But God translated, delivered us into the kingdom of his son. Now we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. All right, now shout out to me. What do you have in this kingdom? The kingdom of God's dear son. Come on. Prosperity, very good. Joy, yeah. Health, good. Come on. Peace, come on. Protection, very good. Come on. Can say in Indian as well. I'll try my best to understand. What else? Come on. Love, come on. What else do you have in this kingdom? Health, very steady. Health. Righteousness, yes. What else? Abundance, yes. What? Zoite. Zoe life. Yes, we have Zoe life in this kingdom. Praise God. Hallelujah. What else? Victory. Yeah, amen. What else we have in this kingdom? Sonship. Getting theological. Come on. What else we have? What? What is it? Oh, favor. That's beautiful. Yes, favor. It's all in this realm, amen? Now the Bible says, where are we now? We are in this realm. Alright? The trouble is that our mind is in this realm. So you know what? It's still possible to experience things in this realm, even though you are in this realm. Do you understand? Alright? You frustrate the grace of God when you don't believe God's word. You frustrate the grace of God. And don't forget, we also have righteousness in this kingdom. We're not trying to get it. You see, today, you don't come to church to become righteous. If you are coming to church to become righteous, now some pastors are afraid to say this because they're afraid people won't start attending. But you know what? I'd rather you attend for the right motive. Come on, you don't attend church to become righteous. You attend church because you are righteous in Christ. And righteous people love righteous people. And in fact, you don't come to church, you don't hear messages like this to establish you in righteousness. Because one thing to become righteous already, it's another thing to become established in that righteousness. And that word established is where you find no weapon formed against you will prosper. God did not say just the fact that you're a Christian and in God's eyes you are righteous. I mean, if God said that, then you know what? There'll be no defeated Christian. Because every Christian, every true Christian who believes in Christ has been made righteous. If that is the criteria, then no weapon formed against us will automatically not prosper. Right? But the fact is, we see the reality that there are weapons that prosper against believers. Believers seem to be defeated at times. And we need to find an answer. And the answer is this. God did not say, if you have righteousness, God says you must be established in that righteousness. Established means what? You know cement? You ever see cement? Alright? When it's still not dry, it's wet cement? How many know that you can write something on the sand and it will not be there tomorrow? But if you write on cement, how many know your words are established forever? Amen? Come on. Matthew loves June. 100 years from now, all right, you go back there, you still say Matthew loves June. Amen. It's engraved in stone, so to speak. It's established. I say it's established. When something is established, it's the foundation. It's no more wavering. And many believers are wavering. They are not sure they are the righteousness of God in Christ. Do you know, if we don't preach on grace every other week, guess what? Just 1 week without a message, or just 1 or 2 weeks without a message, because there are other things to preach about also. And it's amazing how people just snap back into works righteousness. They snap back into trying to perform, to please God, and forgetting what they have in Christ. And that happened to me also, and I remember when that happened to me some time ago, I had to listen to my tapes. I'm serious, I had to get my tapes and I listened to it again. Can you believe it? Because I know when I'm under the anointing. Like I said before, I know I'm not that smart to say some things. I'm saying things because the teacher has taken over. And when I listen to it again, and I'm receiving from the minister, not from myself. And I get established again. It is amazing. You cannot just hear it one time and say, I got it now. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Because the devil says, okay, I'll see how much you believe that. And the pressure is on. Like I said, but you'll bring forth fruit with perseverance. Keep on holding on to it in spite of whatever happens. On the contrary, you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And keep on saying it. If you need to say it 100 times a day, keep on saying it. Say it in the shower. Say it on your way to work. Say it in the MRT. Amen. Say it when you're sitting down on the white throne. Say it! And then there'll come a time you'll believe it. Are you listening, church? In fact, many believers are like in Isaiah 54, before they are established, they are like this. Turn with me to Isaiah 54 once again. Look at the way God promised them. It's because of this, verse 11. And this reminds me of our lives when we are not established in righteousness. How many understand what I'm talking about when I say it's possible for you to hear the teaching before and still not be established now? All right? It's possible for you to be a leader in New Creation Church and now no more established in righteousness. All it takes is one book, one sermon tape that speaks to the contrary, and you believe it, and everything comes untangled. Even though actually, in God's eyes, you are still righteous, but you experience the things of unrighteousness. There's something wonderful about God. The moment you believe the truth that you are the righteous of God in Christ, everything in that kingdom, all right, you start to experience it. First 34, then 64, then 100-fold. The more you believe it, the more you will see it. Amen. Amen? There's a promise in Proverbs that says, the seed of the righteous will be delivered. Right? And in the past, years ago, I used to read that, oh, I must become righteous, then my seed will be delivered. You know? Every time it says, for example, that God blesses the habitation of the righteous, the just. I say that I must be righteous before God, then God will bless me. Actually, that refers to what? Works righteousness or faith righteousness? Faith righteousness. Because the Bible says very clearly, there's only one righteousness from God. And if you trust in the other one, the Bible says you're not submitting yourself to the true righteousness from God. There's only one righteousness. It's not by our performance. It's the gift of righteousness by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, once we are righteous, we can claim all the blessings of the righteous. Like it says, blessings shall be upon the head of the righteous. See this head? A lot of blessings. Turn to your neighbor and say, your head, huh? Got a lot of blessings. Come on. Say your head. Blessings on your head. Come on, Pastor Henry. Blessings on your head. Amen. But we are so afraid to claim that in the past. You know why? Come on. You know why we are afraid to claim that in the past? In book of Proverbs. You can find a lot of promises of the righteous in the book of Proverbs. You know why we are afraid to claim that? Because we always think, oh, that refers to people who are righteous by their behavior. You know, by their performance, by their holiness. And it's not, church, there's only one righteousness that cuts it with God. And it's called Jesus' righteousness. No other righteousness cuts it with Him. He does not acknowledge any other. And the only reason He says that no weapon formed against you will prosper is because of His righteousness. Are you listening, church? Come on! Amen? So it's one thing to be righteous. We all are once we believe in Jesus. It's another thing to be established in that righteousness. It is when you establish, and you know when people are not established, this is what happens, verse 11, God says to the believer, it's the believer He's talking to, His children. He says, oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. How many of you at times you felt, at least there was some time in your Christian life, you know, you felt like you were in a storm, you're tossed here, you're tossed there, this fear, this worry, that worry, full of anxiety, your boat is going left, it's going right, are you feeling seasick? And God is addressing Christians like this. God says, oh, with love, oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Listen to his beautiful words of love. Behold, look, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphires. Now don't forget, in righteousness you'll be established. God says, I will lay to the afflicted one who is worried, full of anxiety, living the Christian life, but living even worse than a sinner. Some sinners are happy-go-lucky. We should be happy-go-blessed. Amen? But here we are more worried than an unbeliever. And we have nothing to look forward to but heaven. They have nothing to look forward to, period. And you know what God says to the believer who is tossed with worries and anxiety? God says, oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest, I want to lay your foundation with sapphire. And later on we read, in righteousness you'll be established. Now sapphire, because of time I can't expound on all the colors here, but let's read all the colors first. And I'll come back, at least touch on one, okay? How about touch on one? I'll make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. I've said before, parents that are established in righteousness produce stable, peaceful children. Parents that are full of worry produce worrisome children. Amen. Amen. What you are, your children become. So if you want your children to enjoy great peace, like this verse says, the next verse must be your stipulation. In righteousness, you must be established. Get the tapes that teach on it. Listen to it again and again until you know that you know that you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Amen? There's someone who wrote something bad about me and said that he's telling people that when they sin, you know, they just can say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And everything be all right. Now, I'm glad that at least that is on paper, because there's someone who is seeking, you know, and he reads that. He says, oh, praise God, at least there's some hope. I'm still righteous of God. So I hope that some hungry one will find, you know, even though it's not fully true, that's what I said, but at least, you know, by putting on paper, there are people who read and say, what's wrong with that? In fact, I hope this is true. And maybe the search will start. Now, what I said is this. Isn't it amazing we say that when we are sick, we are told not to confess our sickness, but to confess God's word that says, by His stripes we are healed.
Amen. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
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 That's why Jesus never says sickness. Never even say death. He says, so and so is sleeping, I'm going to wake him up. Until his disciples say, he's sleeping good, well, let him sleep. Okay, he's dead. He's dead, okay? Happy or not, he's dead. All right. That's what it says, Lazarus. Jesus said, you know, when Jairus' daughter was dying, he came to Jesus, come lay your hands on her and she shall live. That was his faith. Halfway through, because the woman, the issue of blood, Jesus stopped long enough and some messengers came from Jairus' house and said, don't bother Jesus anymore, your daughter is dead. And all the while Jairus said nothing, his last words were this, she shall live. Amen. And then Jesus saw he was a bit afraid. Jesus says, Jairus, be not afraid, only believed. Believe what? Your last statement, she shall live. And she lived.
Amen.
Amen. So that's the reason there's power in our words. Amen. So when we are sick, we don't say, I'm sick, I'm sick. There's a verse that says, the inhabitant shall not say, I'm sick, in Isaiah. Alright? The fullness we'll see in the millennium, but you know what? The reality we can experience now. Amen, church? Now, when we are sick, we are told, confess by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. The last time I taught on this, a lady got healed of cancer. That was last year. And she confessed it, I don't know how many thousand times. Alright? No one laid hands on her. She was at home. But she confessed the truth. Amen?
Amen.
Now again, it's not her holiness, it's Jesus' stripes.
Amen.
And when you say, by your stripes I am healed, you come to a place where you feel His love. It was your stripes. By your stripes. That's when revelation comes. At first, you say it out of obedience. The more you say it, revelation will come. Now you say it because you believe it. And when you believe it in your heart and you say it, Jesus says things will happen.
Amen.
Are you listening, church? So when we're sick, we confess what? We don't confess our sickness, we confess by His stripes, I'm healed. Right? If you need financial breakthrough, what do you say? Money, 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 I need money. No, what do you say? Huh? Yeah, my God shall... shall supply all my needs. According to Zoite? No, according to His riches in glory. Amen. And you know, no matter how rich a person is, God did not promise to supply all your riches according to Bill Gates, right? According to His riches. Amen. And my Father is richer than Bill Gates, don't tell anybody. My God shall supply, and He doesn't even say out of. If you understand English, according to His riches, not out of His riches. Out of means, you know, He didn't give you everything, He gave you a portion of. But according means God lay out His riches from one end to another end, and there's no end to His riches, and God says, I provide according. Amen. Amen. My God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So when I'm sick, I confess the word of God on healing. When I need a financial breakthrough, I confess my God supplies all my needs. Now when I sin, what do I confess? We are told we confess our sin. And this is how you confess your sin. The traditional way. Oh, Father! I did it one more time! Forgive me, please! Forgive me this time and I'll not do it again. Alright? We miss the whole point of 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins. Alright? The Greek says, if we homologio our sins. And the word homo in Greek means same. As you all know already. Logio is from logos. Logio. Word. Homo logio. Same word. Same word about our sins. Same word with who? With God. What did God say about our sins? This side of the cross. Not that side in the Old Testament. This side of the cross. In home we have redemption. We have forgiveness of sins. We have it.
Amen.
So we confess. We thank God we are forgiven. We thank God we are still the righteousness of God in Christ.
Amen.
And then we tell people, if you're sick, disregard the symptoms in your body, confess by Jesus Christ I'm healed, and you will be healed. And that's what happened to that lady, the cancer, she got healed. The doctors are surprised, came, asked for more tests. They can't believe their eyes. And all the tests show that she was healed. But when she confessed it, at that point in time, there was pain in her body, the symptoms were still there, but she confessed and confessed until the test proof there's no more trace of cancer. Amen. So we are told, we understand that part about healing. But when it comes to righteousness, you know what? We are so slow to confess, I'm the righteous of God in Christ. Even though there are symptoms of sin in our life. So what I tell people sometimes, and this shocks people, if you are bound by smoking, all right, even when you light a cigarette, start saying somewhere, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even you got to smoke that cigarette, say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. A revelation will break forth. All of a sudden you find, I'm the righteousness of God. Righteousness and this stick don't go together. But listen. Don't try to psych yourself. It must be a revelation. And the revelation will come.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Prince, you're giving people license to sin. People still sin without license. They've been doing it all the while. You know what? You don't teach them the right way, they'll still hide somewhere and smoke. What talk you? They'll still do it. Amen? So sometimes I like it when people write down what I say, even though, you know, they don't give the fullness of the truth of what I say, the qualifying remarks that I say, you know, so they make it appear like it's really bad. But you know what? Some seeking soul might read it. And then some seeking soul says, and I wish some of these statements are true. And maybe the search will start. Amen, church? But you know what? Doesn't deter me. I know the truth. It changed my life. People say, well, Pastor Prince, you just believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ and you don't have to pray. No, I pray more after I realize I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
You know what? Like I said before, I drive my car and I see an accident. You know, I don't have to psych myself to become, oh, Father, you know. I pass by and I look around and I look at all the people, you know, attending to the guy on the road. And I tell myself, hey, I have a covenant with God. And the Bible says God listens to the prayers of the righteous. And I'm the righteousness of God. Hey, of all the people that can help the man, it's me. So I just showed up a prayer. Father, let the person not die but find Jesus and heal his wounds. Amen. And I drive off. Do you believe God hurt you, Pastor? Of course.
But then?
Of course. Not because of who I am, but because of Jesus. Amen. Because of Him. Yeah. Yes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, church, God been telling me to pump this into you. And I said, God, I don't want people to think I got no other sermon to preach. And then he tells me, as far as you are concerned, you have no other sermon. This is your calling. And you all know that I got lots of sermons to preach. Amen. But God says it's not enough that they know it here. Amen.
Amen,
amen, church.
Amen.
Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. If you are worried, full of anxiety, all right, you might think your problem is I must learn to think positive. I must learn to look at the bright side of life. No. Your problem is this: a lack of revelation, or rather, a lack of being established in that revelation. Because if you know the righteousness of God in Christ, with that consciousness comes a freedom from worry and fear. Now, did I say you'll come to that place immediately? No. 34 first. But you know what? The 34 will encourage you. You come to 64. Then you come to 100-fold. Are you listening, church?
Amen.
Amen? Now, it says here, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. Now, it did not say all your children shall be taught concerning the Lord or about the Lord. There's a difference. You know, you can send your children to Sunday school and they can be taught about Jesus. But it's something else when Jesus teaches them. And here it says, all your children shall be taught directly by the Lord Himself. And no wonder the result is, great shall be the peace. Shalom. The Hebrew there is shalom. And the word is not just peace. Shalom means what? Wholeness. Spirit, soul, and body of your children. And not only there's shalom peace, great shall be the shalom. Great shall be the peace of your children. Oh, you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted. Behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundation with sapphires. I told you, I'll give you just one insight about these stones. When God fills up a verse of scripture, it's not because He's trying to fill up the page. There are truths. You know what color is sapphire? Blue, like your shirt. All right? Color of sapphire is blue. And the color blue in the Bible is always the color of grace. Always the color of grace. And that's the reason why God told the people to have a tassel. The Jewish prayer cloth has a tassel at the end where the color is the color what? Blue. Now Jesus has the color blue. And the woman touched the hem of His garment. What was she saying when she touched the hem of His garment? She was saying, if I'm going to get healed by law, I will never be healed. In fact, the very fact she was out there in public was against the law. But when she touched the hem of His garment, the hem is where the blue tassel is. And blue speaks of grace. She's depending on the grace of Jesus. When she touched the blue tassel, and it stopped Jesus in His tracks, grace will always do that. Right? And she received. In spite of the fact, listen, if you study the Old Testament, she actually broke the laws, more than one law, to be seen out in public. And she received by grace. She didn't receive because she was fully obedient. She didn't receive because she was so gung-ho, you know, a woman. She received by grace. And the color of grace is blue. And that's your foundation. Then the Bible says the only way to grow is to grow in the soil of, grow in. Hey, watch this. If you're out of that soil, you cannot grow. You can work, you can sweat, you can pray hard. People say pray hard. Pray hard, pray soft. It's not your prayer. It is the name of Jesus. This is a solid problem, man. You gotta pray hard. Right? Come on. Wow, man, tell this. Shut up, man. You gotta pray hard. As if in the past, you know, all your prayers are answered because you prayed hard. What is pray hard? That is called constipation. Amen. Jesus says, ask the Father in My name. All right. The only way to grow is to grow in the soil of grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen, church. Come on. The Bible says, when you are established there, you will not be tossed to and fro anymore. Now look at verse 14. In righteousness, you shall be established. Oh, hallelujah. You know what? How many realize Isaiah 54 comes after Isaiah 53? In case some of you are wondering, I can almost hear in the spirit someone saying, well, he's preaching from the Old Testament. And we must understand, Isaiah 54 is referring to our people, our times, our generation, because Isaiah 54 begins by talking about about people who have received what the Messiah did in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53, it talks about Jesus' sufferings. Look at this, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected by men. If you're wondering how come you can be established in this righteousness, it was bought for you at a great cost. And if you want to see that cost, so you can be established. In fact, one thing that will cause us to be established, I think, if we see how much Jesus suffered to give us this righteousness, we'll become more established in it. The problem is that we don't hear too much teaching on Jesus' sufferings. If we see that someone suffered so much for me to have this freedom, you know what? We'll guard that freedom. Especially if someone who loves us very much. Can I have a good amen? If somebody you love very much died, all right, in a war to set your country free or whatever, you will love that country. You'll never migrate. If that loved one died for the country. You know what I'm saying? It's that kind of thing. So if we find out more about how much Jesus suffered, we'll walk tall in this righteousness. And it says, he's surely he has borne. Verse 3, he is despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Look at verse 4. Surely he has borne our, the Hebrew says, sicknesses, and carried our, Hebrew says, pains. Amen. He was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Amen. I say amen.
Amen.
Verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And I asked myself one time, how can it please the Father to crush the Son? The word bruise is crush. And then, you know what? God opened my eyes. I was thinking, how can, you know, I'm sure God was hurt to crush his Son. But God said this to me. I was pleased in the sense of I saw the results of what he did. I saw the results of what would happen in your life. I was pleased with the results in your life of his sufferings. In that sense, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. And the word grief here in the Hebrew is sick. It pleased God to crush him with our sickness. Why? Because God sees us healed. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant, referring to Jesus, shall justify many. Are you one of the many? For he shall bear their iniquities. Hallelujah. Now, enough. Enough said already. Look at chapter 54. How many are convinced it's referring to Jesus' sufferings, isn't it? Then chapter 54 begins with what? Sing, O barren! Sing! Sing beneath the eyebrows! Sing! Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear! Now, again, you don't have to take my words for it. Take the words of the Apostle Paul. Put your finger here and go to Galatians chapter 4. Is this referring to us or referring to other people, Israel or whatever? Now, of course, it refers to Israel in terms of prophecy as well. But here, Apostle Paul gives us the right to claim all these promises for ourselves. Galatians chapter 4. Now notice the first word of Isaiah 54 to all that Jesus did for us, what? Sing! And you know what? There are times when I was so attacked by worry and fear, I had nothing to do but sing. And my mind tells me, you know what my mind tells me? You are crazy. Nothing good is happening and you are singing. And yet I must believe by singing, God, the only response is to all that Jesus did is sing. No wonder the Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, and you'll be kept filled with the Spirit. You know, just sing. Amen? Come to church and just sing. I can't sing, Pastor Prince. Then the Bible says, speak to yourselves in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. It's merciful. That verse is a mercy of God. It didn't say sing to yourself with psalms. And many of people are disqualified. It says speak to yourselves. Amen? And God is merciful to others as well. It says speak to yourselves. Amen. Look at Galatians 4. Look at Galatians 4. Alright? Look at verse 27. For it is written, rejoice, O barren. Another word for sing. Rejoice, O barren. He's quoting from... Paul is quoting from Isaiah 54 in his New Testament epistle of Galatians. He quotes verse 27, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear. Break forth and shout, you who are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. But let's not read it out of context. Let's read it in context, shall we? Shall we?
Whether you agree or not, I'm still going to do it.
Read in context. Verse 21 says, tell me. Paul says, tell me. And there are people in the body of Christ today who still insist on being under the law. Or they'll say, no, Pastor Prince, we are saved by grace. All right? But we keep the law because it is very profitable for us. Now listen, my friend, Paul calls that witchcraft. Having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by your efforts, by the flesh? Come on. The righteousness of God revealed in the gospel is from faith to faith, not from faith to works. The common belief in the body of Christ is this: we are saved by grace, but we are justified by works. No, we are saved by grace, and we are justified by grace. We are saved by faith, we are justified by faith. We will continue our life by faith. Are you listening, church? Come on. And look at Paul's context, okay? Before he comes to Isaiah 54, he says, verse 21, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? And don't forget, Paul is a master of the law because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. You know what I'm saying? Pharisee of Pharisees? That means he's the best Pharisee. He's fairer than a Pharisee. He's fairer, you see? Than all the Pharisees. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. Amen? Tell me, you who desire, like Elvis Presley, he was the king of rock and roll, they say. Right? So he's the king of kings in terms of rock and roll. He's the top. Understand? Paul was the top. And God took the top guy, the most legalistic guy, and made him teach grace. Isn't that amazing? God didn't use Peter to teach grace. God used Paul, to teach grace. Amen? Pastor Prince, were you a very legalistic person? Keep quiet. Focus on your Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't dig up people's past. Hallelujah. Tell me, you desire to be under the law. Do you not hear the law? For it is written, he's arguing from the law. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. Name the two sons. Father Abraham had two. Ishmael and Isaac. Yitzhak. The one by a bond woman. The one by a bond woman. Bond is not James Bond's wife. All right? It's like James Bond. He's in bondage, the guy. The son of a bond woman is Ishmael because he was born of a slave girl, right? And the son of a free woman. Say free. Huh? Isn't that word beautiful? And who is born of the free woman? Isaac. And who is the real heir of Abraham's blessings? Isaac. And look at this. It says, but he who was the born woman was born according to the flesh. Now, according to the flesh means by effort. He that was born of the flesh was Ishmael. He was born by effort. Trust me. Abraham put in effort. God was not involved in it. All right? Okay, that's all I can say. He was on his own. But he of the free woman, true promise. How do we know? Because when Abraham and his wife had sexual relations, she was 90 years old. He was 100 years old. Definitely. It was by God's promise. God was involved in the whole thing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Some people are getting revelationary. Some people advancing in years are getting revelationary. Hallelujah. Praise God. Grace is God's ability beyond your ability. So, was Ishmael born out of his ability or God's ability? His ability. Isaac? God's ability. Okay? Which things are symbolic. These two women, Sarah, his true wife, and Hagar, both of them are symbolic. People say, well, Pastor Prince, when you teach Old Testament, sometimes you say, this is a type, Joseph is a type of Jesus. How can you say that? Paul taught us typology. Paul says there are two women and there are two types of two covenants. And he says they are symbolic. These are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. And people say, well, Pastor Prince, why don't you teach on people, for example, they are wondering why I don't teach on Ten Commandments. Because my Bible says that covenant from Mount Sinai gives birth to bondage. We are not people of Mount Sinai. We are people of Mount Zion. And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which is established forever. And that's why when the law was given on Mount Sinai, 3,000 people died at the foot of the mountain. On the day of Pentecost, same feast of Pentecost in the New Testament was at Mount Zion. When the Holy Spirit, instead of the law, was given, 3,000 people were saved. The letter kills, the Spirit gives life.
Amen.
How are we to live? By the law? No. By the Spirit. By grace. These two things, these two women are two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Mount Sinai covenant is which woman? Hagar, the slave woman. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, who is the mother of us all. Actually, we have a mother. The Bible says so. And it's Jerusalem above. It's the grace. We are born of grace. And her name is also Grace. Amen. It's the grace of God, who is the mother of us all. And her name, Abraham, which one is it? Abraham's wife? Her name is Sarah. She is a picture of grace. And grace is beautiful, that even a king wanted her. But God will always protect grace. Amen, church. So we are born of grace. And then he says, for it is written, sing, O barren. Barren here refers to Sarah. Wasn't she barren? Come on. Yeah, she was barren. So it might seem sometimes people who perform by the law, they seem to produce a lot of activities, you know, a lot of things going on around them. But if these things are born of man's ability, it will all fall flat. Time will tell. Even if a church is built by human efforts, all right, in due time, it will show. I don't want man's ability to build this church. Unless the Lord builds new creation church, we all labor in vain. Amen. Unless the Lord washes the city, the security guard keeps awake in vain. The Bible tells us. Amen, church? And it says, rejoice, O barren. So God says, by faith, right now, some of you are saying, but Pastor Prince, I'm sick, I'm barren, I'm empty. Or some of you are really barren. The doctor says you're going to have children, whatever. God says, rejoice, sing. In Isaiah 54, sing by faith. You know why? The Bible says, because the barren woman will have more children than she who is boasting that she has a husband. Than she who has a husband. All right, and those who are under the law. Come on. Come on. Now, sometimes grace, you know, when someone is born again, we like to give them things to do. We must do this, and now you're a Christian, you must do this, you must pray for 1 hour, you got to read 10 chapters a day. We like to give people things to do, and we make them think that these are the things that makes them righteous. Instead of telling them who they are, we tell them what to do. And you know what happened after that? They may show some results, it seems. After 4 hours, you don't see them anymore. It was all their efforts. But grace, some people in that church, you know, they don't do this, they don't do that, they don't do that. But you know what? People say this of our church. People hardly get burnt out in our church. They don't burn out, actually they burn out. Amen? That's one of the greatest compliments given to this church. People don't burn out. They say that your ushers really enjoy what they are doing. The problem is that they overdo sometimes. People enjoy the ministry in this church. And there's no threatening. You don't hear me telling people, you don't serve the Lord. In fact, we hardly have a call for people to serve. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Y'all didn't come here because on a midweek, literally. All right, because you were afraid God will punish you. No. You came here because you are hungry. Because you're not stupid. Amen. You know that God's word will establish you. There's no threat. Pastor Prince, some threat is better than nothing. You know, gotta put the fear of God in people's hearts. Like I said before, the best person to define fear of God is Jesus. And Jesus said in the temptation in the wilderness, thou shalt fear the Lord. He didn't say fear the Lord. He says thou shalt worship the Lord. When actually the quotation in Deuteronomy says thou shalt fear. But Jesus changed the word fear to worship. To show us the correct definition of the fear of the Lord. It is not that kind of fear of God. God doesn't want that kind of fear of Him. God wants you to worship Him.
Amen.
Amen. That other fear of God is the spirit of bondage again to fear. That the Bible says we are freed from. Amen, church?
One good illustration to tell you that people who are afraid and then they go to church will not last long is during the Gulf War. Oh, not even during the Gulf War. Take a more recent one, 9/11. It was said the following week, the churches everywhere in America were packed. And they said that, you know, we only saw this during the Gulf War. Churches are packed. But you know what? After a few weeks, it's gone. That goes to show when people are afraid and they go to God because they are afraid, it doesn't last long. But when they are there because they find out how much God loves them, it will last and last and last. And that's why I always say, it's the goodness of God. Not preaching on hellfire and brimstone, I tell you, you backslidden buzzards, you. The fire of God will burn your backside. And repent! Or I'll send you, Pastor Henry, by hand. And somebody else, well, that's the kind of preaching we need, Pastor Prince. You don't know what you're talking about. All fire, all loudness, and no anointing. Nothing life-transforming. Very impressive. I can do that also. But you know, at the end of the day, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord is in the preaching, we can shout in vain. And Jesus! When I feel like saying, shh, relax. The reason why they preach like that in those days is because they don't have a microphone. They try to throw their voice to the people at the back. Nowadays, you don't have to. Amen? Now, don't be impressed with things that is outward. You look at people under law, they produce immediately, but then they fade away. Grace, you leave them alone. Yeah, it may seem they're doing nothing. Leave them alone. Let them enjoy God's love. The more they find out how much God loves them, they love because he first loved them. And then all the wild horses in the world cannot stop them. They talk about Jesus all the time. Even during Chinese New Year, talk about Jesus, I tell you. You know. And here you don't have teachings on seminars on how to witness. They are witnessing. Hey, man. Right? The problem with them is that they're like their pastor. They don't know when to stop. When grace touches your heart, your mouth opens, right? When John the Baptist's father wrote John's name down on a tablet, he put down grace. Yohanan. John's name means God is grace. When he wrote grace, his mouth opened. Amen. Amen. So isn't this wonderful? It is written, rejoice, O barren one. Let's just meditate in closing. Let's meditate on rejoice or sing, O barren, you who do not bear, in closing, because I think God wants you to have a word of encouragement here. Let's go back to Isaiah 54 and we close with it. Isaiah 54. In fact, the Lord spoke to me and gave me a rhema word for you, and it's found in chapter 54, verse 1. Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. God says, get excited, be happy, even though you have not seen it. Yet, you've not seen the results, you've not seen the healing in your body yet, sing. Rejoice first. That's faith. God says, you who do not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. And God says, sing and dance by faith. You know why? You who have not labored with child. Now, this child here can refer to physical child if you're believing God for a child. It can refer to produce results, results, results! If there's no results in your business, no results in your body, there are no results in your family, God says, sing first! Act like there's results! Sing as if you have it already! And you know what's going to happen? God says, more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. God says, you will have more results, more children than the one who is married! And then verse 2 is a word from God for all of us here at the beginning of the year. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Why? God says, get ready, get ready. God says, stretch your tents. Prepare for the blessing.
don't wait until your healing comes. Don't wait until the prosperity comes. God says, start investing, start preparing for the blessing. Make room for the blessing. You're believing God for children. Start buying children books. Start reading about babies. Start buying their little socks or mittens or whatever. Amen. Start doing something. Start preparing for that baby. Start preparing for that growth. God has lengthened your stakes. You know, in those days, they dwell in tents, right? So when lengthen your stakes means pull it further, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, lengthen your cords, let your dwelling place become bigger. When God tells them to do this, they don't even have one child yet, like Abraham. But prepare for the blessing. That is faith. Sing and prepare. Sing and prepare. Pastor Prince, you don't understand. The market is bad for my kind of product. Sing and prepare. Amen. Believe the report of the world and you get the results of the world. Believe the report of your God and you get godly results. Amen. Amen. Start preparing for growth. Pastor Prince, to start preparing for all this costs money. And that's why you have those three little words. Do not spare. Get ready for growth. Get ready for your prosperity this year. He has crowned the year of His goodness. Amen. No, Pastor, I must see first. And then I don't mind investing. God says what? I would have fainted unless I had belief to see. In fact, it's there. Turn right now to Psalms 27 one more time. Put your finger here. I didn't tell you that just now, did I? Psalms 27. How many are glad growth is coming? Amen. Look at verse 13. Now, look at this verse. I would have lost heart unless I had believed to see. Did he say see to believe? Or believe to see? I had believed first to see. Amen. God wants us to believe to see. Not see then believe. Anyone can do that. The faith that pleases Him is God wants you to believe in His goodness, to see that goodness. Amen? Why, Pastor Prince, why enlarge the place of my tent? Why stretch out the curtains of my dwellings? Do not spare, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. Why? Because verse 3 says, God's authoritative word, God says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left. That's like God saying, you will prosper left and right. Not saying expand like this, huh? Left and right. We don't want that kind of expansion, amen? He says you will break forth, you will expand left and right. You will grow. Hallelujah. Amen. Our problem right now is that we have overflow rooms. Left and right. And our problem right now is a good problem. We don't know where to put the people. So we are preparing. Amen. We're preparing for a bigger place. And that's why we invested in Marine Cove. Because the place that God has for us is too expensive just for us to use the money we have in the bank. Amen. 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 That means a bigger place. Amen, church. Amen. Bowling alleys, amen. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I wish I can just go on and on, because time would fail me to tell you of the promise of Noah in verse 9. How God promises because of Isaiah 53, God swore. Look up here. God swore. Like the waters of Noah will never flood the earth, God swore He'll never be angry with the believer. Amen. And yet it is a tremendous... I would say conspiracy of the enemy to make Christians today feel, if you hear any preaching or any impression from anyone that makes you think God can be angry with you today, it is not the New Testament teaching. Because God swore. It's not just His word. God swore. It's not often you find Him swearing, lifting His hand and say, I swear. All right? And because the Bible says He cannot swear by the moon and the stars, because He's bigger than that. He swore by Himself. And God swore. God swore that He'll never be angry with you in verse 9. Go back home and read that. God swore. This is like the waters of Noah. And we all know the waters of Noah. But many Christians don't even know this one oath.
You tell them, what's God's oath to Noah, God's swore to Noah, they'll say, he'll never flood the earth again. Every Christian knows that. And yet you tell them, what did God swear because of what Jesus did? They don't know. God swore he'll never be angry with you if you put your trust in Jesus. God swore, hey man, this is like the waters of Noah. As I have sworn, the waters of Noah will never again flood the earth. So I swear to you, I'll never be angry with you nor rebuke you. The word rebuke is condemn. God will never condemn us. God will never, never be angry with us. The impression you have that God is angry with you is of the devil. It's not of God. Amen. And yet more Christians know God's sworn oath to Noah than God's sworn oath to Jesus to us. Amen. Church, is it okay with you if in the weeks to come I continue teaching on righteousness? Huh? I'm just being nice. You all know that, right? You all know that I'm going to preach what I'm going to preach anyway, right? But I like to be nice. Amen? Will we continue to be established? Come on. On your way home, all right? Quote to yourself, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And think about Jesus' sufferings. He paid a great price for you to enjoy that righteousness in Him. Amen? You know what was the price? You can close your Bibles. The price is 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Jesus to be sin for us who knew no sin. Amen. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Well, Pastor Prince, how can I become righteous without doing right? The same way that Jesus became sin without doing sin. One more time. How can we become righteous without doing right? The same way Jesus became sin without doing sin. He received sin, we receive righteousness. Did God treat Him like a sinner on the cross? Yes. Therefore, will God treat you as righteous? Yes. Was He cursed because He became sin? He didn't do sin. He never did one sin in His life. All right? But He received our sin on the cross and He was cursed. Will we be blessed even though it's a gift of righteousness? Of course. The same way Jesus was cursed because He received our sin, we are blessed because we receive His righteousness. Amen. The way God treated Jesus was like He was the worst sinner that ever lived on earth. And you think about it, He carried every world's sin, everyone's sin on Himself. The sin of murder, the sin of witchcraft, every sin you can imagine, all right, was in His body on that cross. And because every sin was on Him, now how many realize we all carry our own sins, right? I don't carry your sins, thank God. We all have our own sins, right? But all our sins combined into one man, can you imagine the kind of the fullness of God's anger that fell on Him? No wonder He cried out, I thirst. No wonder He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And the Bible tells us, right at the end, He cried out, it is finished. If all the anger of God has consumed all our sins, listen, there is no anger left. Judicially, there is no anger left. And it's all part of God's plan. Isn't that amazing? And people say, well, the God of the New Testament doesn't seem like the God of the Old Testament. And someone will write something, well, I have you know it's the same God. It's not two gods. Yeah, it's true. But you know what? It's a different dispensation. God preferred this dispensation. You can read about it in Galatians, in Romans. God preferred dispensation of grace. He loves grace. You know, it's the same God, but two different dispensations. I think the best way to tell you is like this. The administration of Bill Clinton is different from the administration of George Bush. Same White House, same position, President of the U.S., but two different administrations. The administration of the law, administration of grace, same God. Today is the administration of grace. Therefore, don't look at the law and come under its condemnation. Where God says, if you're not hearken my commandment to my commandments, all right, I'll bring this disease on you. All right, don't read that and start being fearful. You are no more under the administration. But you know the promise at the end down there, it says, I am the Lord that healeth you. That is yours. Because in the new administration, all the promises of God in the whole Bible are yes and in Christ, amen unto us. Hallelujah. Amen. Be careful. I'm about to preach again. Thank you, Jesus. Every head bowed and every eye closed all across this place and also in the overflow, please.